Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam toto toto jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, chapter entitled The Outer Dynasty Retires to Prabhas. Text number 50. Sri Shukadev Uvacha.
Sri Shukadev Uvacha.
Evam vigyapito rajan.
Evam vigyapito rajan.
Bhagavan Devaki Sutta.
Bhagavan Devaki Sutta.
Ekantinam priyam brityam.
Ekantinam priyam brityam.
Udavam samabhashata.
Udavam samabhashata.
Shishuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami said. Evam.
Evam.
In this way.
Vigyapita.
Requested.
Requested.
Rajan.
Rajan.
O King.
O King.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Devaki Sutta.
The son of Devaki.
The son of Devaki.
Ekantinam.
Ekantinam.
In private.
In private.
Priyam.
Priyam.
Dear.
Dear.
Buddhicham.
To
the servant.
Udavam.
Udava.
Udava.
Samabhashata.
Samabhashata.
He spoke at length. Translation of Prabhupada by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, thus addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Devaki, began to reply confidentially to his dear, unalloyed servant, Uddhava. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit,
thus addressed
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Krishna,
the son of Devaki,
began to reply confidentially
to his dear unalloyed servant, Uddhava. Purport. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the conditioned living entities, by their movements, laughter, activities, and words, simply bind themselves more and more in material existence. But if they engage in hearing and chanting about the pastimes of the Personality of Godhead, the conditioned souls will achieve liberation from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This process of supreme liberation will now be elaborately described by Lord Sri Krishna to his dearmost devotee, Sri Uddhava. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhas. Omigyan timirandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swa vedantikam. Vancha kaupata rubyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Kaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Hare. So the same things that can bind us in this world can also liberate us. That is the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami has taught the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi. Nirbandha means something which cannot be engaged in Krishna's service. There are certain things we cannot engage in Krishna's service. We cannot engage the eating of the flesh of a cow in Krishna's service. It's not possible like that. It's not possible to have illicit sex in Krishna's service. It's not possible to gamble in Krishna's service. It's not possible to, I mean, unless you give all the results to Krishna, like that. But it's not that you would go out and do that. If someone won $1 million on the Tats Lotto and then they gave it to the temple, then okay, then we give that to Krishna. And then that's purified like that. But it's not that we go out and buy lottery tickets like that. And we cannot engage intoxication in Krishna's service, these things. So certain things cannot be engaged in Krishna's service. It's not possible like that. Nirbandha. Nirbandha means not possible. Not nirbandha. Not possible to bring together. Not possible to engage. Certain things cannot be engaged in Krishna's service. But Krishna Sambandha. And Krishna Sambandha means, Sambandha means a relationship. No. Krishna, many things, most things, we can actually connect to Krishna. Yukta Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation. It means detachment. For ourselves, we do not use these things. But for Krishna, then we can use them. Like that. That is our system. That is the teachings of Rupa Goswami. Yukta Vairagya means that the devotee will not use even, Prabhupada says, a farthing for sense gratification. Prabhupada says that when we collect thousands and millions of dollars for Krishna, he said we cannot use 1 cent for sense gratification. Everything must be used for the service of Krishna. That is the principle, because it belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. So you cannot use that which is does not belong to you for your own sense gratification, because it belongs to Krishna. Krishna says himself in the 3rd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, if you use something which belongs to another person for your sense gratification, you are stena. Stena means you are a thief. Right? Because everything belongs ultimately to Krishna. Krishna is the owner of everything. This is the Isha Vashya principle that we're taught about in the Isha Upanishad. So everything must be used for Krishna in his service. If it cannot be engaged in his service, then Nirbandha, we renounce it. Vairagya. Then we are detached from it. Like that. But if it can be used for Krishna's service, Krishna Sambandha, then we use it. Yukta Vairagya. We renounce it, but we give it to Krishna for his service. That is correct renunciation. Like that. So, therefore, this requires that the devotees become sense-controlled. Because if you don't have control of your senses, then you cannot use the material energy in the service of Krishna. So therefore, now Rupa Goswami, in the Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, then he gives 11 verses which take you from the beginning of spiritual life to the end of spiritual life in 11 verses. Only an acharya like Rupa Goswami could do something like that. In 11 verses, take you from the very beginning of spiritual practice to the very final goal of spiritual practice. So, the first verse is Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yo Vishaheta Dira, Sabam, Apimam, Prithivim, Sashishat. So, all those things must be engaged in the service of Krishna, that is Yukta Vairagya, right? Whatever there is in existence, it must be used for Krishna's service, and then we become purified. That is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Otherwise, those same things which you use, right, they can either bind you to the material energy, or they can liberate you from the material energy. If you use them for your sense gratification, you become bound to this material energy. If you use them in Krishna's service, you become liberated from the material energy. Right? Basic example is money. Right? By money, you can become bound to this material world. Right? You can become tied up. Or, if you use that same money in the service of Krishna, you become liberated. Right? If you get $1 million, right, then with that $1 million, you can deeply absorb yourself in Maya. Or, if you use that $1 million for Krishna's service, then you can become liberated from this material world altogether. So that is called Yukta Vairagya. This is the basic principle which is taught. So therefore, Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur says, the conditioned living entities, by their movements, their laughter, their activities and their words, simply bind themselves more and more in material existence. This is the nature of Maya, the material energy. We bind ourselves more and more into material existence. The nature of Maya is that it is like a spider's web. When you see an insect fly into the spider's web, then it begins to struggle to release itself. But the more it struggles, the more it becomes implicated, the more it becomes bound up. That is the nature of Maya. You give Maya an inch, she will take a mile. In like a needle, out like a plow. That is Maya's potency. She is like that. So just like my spiritual master Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he gave a nice example that just like you go to India and you get on the train and you have your reserved seat on the train. So you're sitting on the train, on your seat. And then one Mataji comes, big Mataji, from Gujarat, right? Big one. She comes in and she looks at you and she gives you that doe-eyed look. She's very innocent, very pure, very chaste Mataji. She gives you that look. Please just give me a little place to sit. So you just move over halfway. Give her half of your seat. So she sits down. But then you don't realize she has 8 kids. And then, in the next 2 hours, when you're going on the train between the stations, and gradually people get off, you move down a little bit, and then she moves across them, and you move down a little bit, and other people get off, and you move down a little bit, and she moves across, and then her kids get on, right, and start moving on. And then, within about 2 hours, you don't have a seat anymore. And that's the nature of the material energy. Right? You just give her 1 inch, she will give you, she will take a mile. That is the nature of the material energy. You just give Maya this much, just a little bit of room to move, and then suddenly, 6 months later, your head is still spinning, and you're thinking, what happened? I just compromised this much with Maya. That is not to say that we don't share our seats on trains. That is not the principle. I'm just using that as an example like that. But it doesn't mean that when you get on a train you can't share your seat. That's not the principle. Don't walk away from the class thinking that the lesson of the class today was that when you get on an Indian train you don't share your seat. That is not the principle. The principle is that we have to be careful with Maya. Because if you give Maya just a crack, then she will infiltrate. So therefore, one of the ways that the Indian people allowed or removed the British from India was by Gandhi's principle of no cooperation. Right? That's how Gandhi, it wasn't just Gandhi, actually Prabhupada said Suchandra Bose in Bengal, he said Suchandra Bose had a lot more influence than Gandhi, because Gandhi's movement was no cooperation. He was pacifist. He was ahimsa, no violence. But Suchandra Bose, he fought the British. They got guns and they began to fight and shoot the British. And Prabhupada said in Bengal, he said Suchandra Bose had more influence in removing the British than Gandhi. Like that. Anyway, that's just history. Prabhupada just made that comment. But the point is that Gandhi definitely gave them a hard time, because he developed the principle of no cooperation. And that has to be our motto. Prabhupada explained that is our motto when dealing with Maya. No cooperation. Right? Maya says, I have a special service for you today. I would like you to do something for me. And especially when she comes along and she has beautiful eyes, right, and very attractive face, right? Then she controls the living entity. Especially this is how Maya infiltrates through the opposite sex. Therefore, what is the basic principle of training as a young devotee? In Vedic culture, you have four ashramas. Ashram means ashraya. Ashraya means shelter. Like that. The purpose of ashram life is to put yourself under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's to become more dependent upon Krishna. That is the purpose of ashram life. That is the difference between, as Prabhupada explains, grihastha ashram life and griha medhi life. Griha medhi life means that the griha becomes the center of your consciousness, your existence. And we see that's what griha life is like. You get a griha. A griha means a home. And then people spend their whole lives just decorating their griha. Right? Oh, I need a new lounge suite. Or I need another lounge suite for the other room because that doesn't have. I need, just like I went to visit my grandfather. He got a new house around about Christmas time. I went to visit him. And he has four televisions. You know? One is 13 feet long. I'm not joking. Right? It's massive. One's that big, and then he has another one which is like that big, you know, like 4 feet wide, and then he has two other ones in four different rooms, right? Because, you know, you need as many televisions as you can get. This is the goal of life, right? You've got to have as many TVs as you can get, you know? And I said to him, why don't you have one in the toilet also? Because, what's the point? Like that. So that's just the griha becomes the centre of existence, right? Decorating the griha, and then the TV is not good enough anymore. So now I need a bigger, better one, because they have more better ones. They have better vision, better, clearer picture, and that's what people basically. If you look at all the people in Melbourne, 4 million people in Melbourne, basically you look, it's all griha medhi life, right? It's just about their little home, you know, making that better and better and better, right? And then they die, and then that's it. Right, nothing achieved at all. You can't take any of it with you. Like that. So, the difference is in Vedic culture, there is a purpose behind our existence in this world. And what is the purpose? It is to develop our relationship with Krishna. So in Vedic culture, if you live to 100, we'll take it to people in Kali Yuga, the average span of life should be 100 years. Hardly anyone lives to that age anymore because too much simple activity, but we say an average span of life is 100 years. So first 25 years of life is brahmachari ashram. Now, what is the point of being a brahmachari or a brahmacharini? Right? It's actually interesting because in the Vedas, there's no word brahmacharini. There's no such thing as a brahmacharini. But when Srila Prabhupada came to the West and began ISKCON, he understood that he has to give shelter to his female disciples. Therefore, he created the Brahmacharini Ashram. Right? That was Prabhupada's vision as an Acharya. He understood that we have to purify both the men and the women in our movement. In 1974, you're reading the Prabhupada Lilamrita. In 1974, there was a revolution trying to emerge in ISKCON. Several sannyasis and so forth, they came to the GBC meetings, the Mayapur festival, and they were adamant that we had to kick all the women out of ISKCON. That was their mission. The women were Maya, and they were weakening the preaching because the brahmacharis and the sannyasis were becoming weakened, and some of them were getting married, and it was stopping the preaching. So they said it was better we don't have any brahmacharini ashram like that. So they tried to do it. They actually came and they tried to pass it as like a resolution in ISKCON. No more women in the movement. Yeah, women can live outside as grihasthas, but no brahmacharinis like that. And Prabhupada stopped it. Prabhupada had to stop it. He had to intervene with the GBC. Right? Prabhupada would usually let them make decisions, then they would bring the decisions to him, and then he would say, okay, that's okay, or yes or no. But when they brought this to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said no. He said, no, it is not possible. And you hear the morning walks in 1974 in the Mayapur Festival, Prabhupada's discussing this point. And then, later in the day, Prabhupada was up in his room and he came out on his balcony And there was one Mataji out in the field, and she was picking flowers for the deities. And Prabhupada said, how can I not give them shelter? How can I not accept their service? They are so sincere. Every flower that she picks, she comes closer to Krishna. How can I not give her shelter? So that was Prabhupada's mood. So the first 25 years of our life is meant to be practicing brahmachari or brahmacharini life. Now, what is the purpose of brahmachari life, brahmacharini life? It is celibate student life, right? You have to practice celibacy. Why do we practice celibacy? Because it makes the mind strong. Now, Prabhupada makes this point. Gandhi was, right, a brahmachari, well known for being a brahmachari, right? So Gandhi, Prabhupada says, he makes this example. Gandhi, by his brahmacharya, by the strength of his celibacy, he forced the British out of India. That's how powerful celibacy is. That's why it must be practiced. Because it makes the mind very powerful, very direct, very focused. The senses become controlled, the mind becomes controlled, one becomes focused in Krishna service. Therefore, the principle of brahmachari life, or brahmacharini life, is to practice celibacy, which means you refrain from associating with the opposite sex. There are eight principles of brahmachari life, which are mentioned in the Vedas. I can't remember them all off the top of my head, so maybe some of you have memorized it like that. But brahmacharya includes one should not speak to women. Right? We only speak, brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, they only speak when it's necessary in the engagement of service, in Krishna's service. Otherwise, if it's not necessary, then why are you speaking? It weakens your determination. If you're too much associating with the opposite sex, then your determination becomes weakened. Because Prahlad Maharaj gives the example in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam when he's speaking about Brahmachari Ashram to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira says, please explain to me about Vana and Ashrama. Like that. So then Prahlad Maharaj begins to describe about, first of all, Brahmachari life. So he says that the example he gives is that the women are like fire and the men are like a butter pot. So if you put the butter too close to the fire, it will melt. And then it is useless. Well, it's okay because then you can make ghee, but you know, that's a different thing. We don't want ghee, we want butter. Right? So Prabhupada says that you have to keep the butter away from the fire. So as a brahmachari and a brahmacharini, you only associate as much as necessary. Right? Recently, in Mayapur, they had to confiscate all of the mobile phones from the 200 brahmacharis in the Mayapur complex because they were sending text messages to Matajis. Right? This is not brahmachari life. Right? And then what happens? You become weak. You lose your determination, right, to meditate on Krishna, because then you're not Krishna conscious anymore. You become, your consciousness becomes absorbed in the opposite sex. Then spiritual life is finished like that. So therefore, a brahmachari and a brahmacharini should not associate more than necessary. Prabhupada said a brahmachari should stamp on his head, keep cool. No? Just like in the butter. You stamp in the butter, keep cool. Don't put it near the fire. So the brahmacharis, the brahmacharinis, they should keep cool. Prabhupada said, stamp it on your head. Right? So after class you get a black texter. Right? And you write on your head, keep cool. All the brahmacharinis, all the brahmacharis. So that when they see each other, then they look at each other and they think, no. I have to stay away. Keep cool. Actually, if one's a real brahmachari, he never looks at the face of a woman. Right? You look in the Ramayana that Lakshman, he only recognized, he lived for 13 years, or was it 14 years? 14. Lived for 14 years in the forest with Sita and Ram, and he never once looked at the face of Sita. He only recognized Sita because he understood which toe rings she wore on her toes of her feet. She just looked at, whenever she spoke to him, he simply looked at her feet. That is brahmacharya. Okay. So that's the principle which should inspire us to minimize. It doesn't mean that you maybe never look at a woman's face again, because that may not be practical in your service, right? Like that. But the principle is there. And why is the principle there? To teach us that we should minimize the association. The more we minimize it, the better. Like that. So, celibate. Right? Then, what is the religious principle of the brahmacharya? It is vidya. This is the religious, or this is the dharma of the brahmacharya, is vidya. Vidya means to cultivate knowledge. Celibate student. Right? You practice celibacy, you refrain from associating with the opposite sex. Traditionally, you live in the ashram of the guru. That's why we have brahmachari ashram, brahmacharini ashram. It is the ashram of the guru, of Prabhupada, of his followers. It is the ashram of the guru. You live in the ashram of the guru to cultivate vidya, knowledge, to learn the Vedas, to study the Bhagavad Gita, to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essential books. Because then you become fixed up. Because you need that fixed up consciousness, that transcendental knowledge, to keep you out of maya for the rest of your life. Because as soon as you become, as soon as you change your ashrams, everything changes. Right? You don't have as much time as a grihastha as you do as a brahmacharya or a brahmacharini to study Prabhupada's books. Because life is much more complicated. So therefore you take advantage of your time as a brahmacharya, brahmacharini, to study Prabhupada's books. Because when you get married, you don't have as much time. Right? It's difficult. Most devotees have to, and then you have children, and then you have a job, and then you have a mortgage, and then you have, nappies to change, and then you have, it all begins, and then less time. And it's difficult like that. So, take advantage. Then, because the Vedic culture teaches that spiritual life is based on ashraya, right? Ashraya means shelter. Then, grihastha ashram, ashram means ashraya. When you're a grihastha, right? It is also a place of shelter. It's a place where you're meant to cultivate your relationship with Krishna. That is the purpose of grihastha life. It's not for sense enjoyment. Right? It's a license for sense gratification. When you get a license, what does it mean? It means you've still got restrictions on you. It's not like, you're 18 now, you've got a license. Jump in the car and drive up the left side of the road on two wheels and, you're driving down the freeway on the wrong side, like that, doing wheelies out the front on the nature strip, and then like that. Maybe in India, I don't know, but sometimes they drive a little bit strangely there. But at least in this country, when you get a license, you're meant to follow things. And then when people stop following, when they abuse their license, what happens? Right? The government retracts the license. Right? You've abused it. Right? Just like if people get caught drink driving and they lose their license for drink driving, which is idiocy, stupidity, then what the government is doing now is that they install a breathalyzer in the car when they get their license back. And for the rest of their life, every time they get in the car, they have to blow into the breathalyzer. And the breathalyzer tests if they're been taking alcohol, and if they've been taking alcohol, then the car doesn't start. That's how they have to control them, because they're uncontrollable, these people, like that. So it means that if you get a license, you're not allowed to abuse the license. A grihastha ashram, it's a license, right? Grihastha life, it is a license. That means now you have a license, right? It doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want, right? It means now you have association with the opposite sex, but it is restricted. Right? It's not unrestricted association. Tamal Krishnamaraj, when he got married in 1970, I think he got married, and then he went to India with Prabhupada, and then he was Prabhupada's secretary in India, and he was the GBC in India, and then he got married, and then Prabhupada pulled him aside one day and he said, be very careful of illicit sex. Right? He was Prabhupada's secretary. Right? He was the GBC for India. He said actually Prabhupada was the GBC, because Prabhupada was in India most of the time. From 1970 onwards, Prabhupada practically spent 9 months of his year in India, practically. Most of his time in India, those after he went back in 1970. So practically Prabhupada, but he was with Prabhupada a lot of the time. He was only a grihastha for 2 years, but Prabhupada was so concerned about his disciple following the principles, he said, be very careful of illicit sex. Like that. So that is the principle, no? Of grihastha ashram. Right? It is a license for sense gratification, but it is a license, it means there are restrictions. It is not unlimited, how do you say it? Unlimited. What's the word I'm looking for? Association, like that. The association must be restricted, like that. So the principle of Grihastha Ashram is Dan. The Dharma, or the religious principle for Grihastha life, for Brahmachari life it is Vidya. For Grihastha life it is Dan. Dan means charity. Right? Grihastha becomes purified by giving charity. Because what is the Grihastha most attached to?
Money.
His money. Right? That's why we're Grihasthas. Because we're attached to money. So therefore, purify your attachment. Right? And how do you purify attachment? You give a portion of your income regularly to Krishna, to the Brahmanas, to the Vaishnavas, like that. That is the principle. Then you purify your material attachments. If a Grihastha does not give dan, he does not become purified. No? He's Griha Medhi to some degree. Right? His attachment increases. Like that. You have to give a portion to Krishna. Rupa Goswami says 50% you have to give to Krishna. 25% you keep for emergencies, 25% you keep for your daily bread, and 50%. Okay, so maybe that's difficult now because of the price of living and artificial standards of living, but the principle is if a grihastha does not give charity, then he does not become purified. Then, when you get to the age of 50, then you go to the forest. Right? That is called vana. Vana means forest. Right? Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha. When you're at the age of 50, you look in the mirror. Right? You get up in the morning, 50. Happy birthday. Right? Look in the mirror, and what's happening? Oh my God, I'm getting old. Right? I'm looking older now. Like that. That's a indication from the material energy. You haven't got long to go, Baba. You haven't got long to go. 50 means you're over the hill. Right? Not long to go. So therefore, you go to the forest. Vana. Means you become serious. Now the religious principle of the Vanaprastha, the Dharma, is tapasya. Tapa. Which means austerity. When you get to the age of 50, you have to become serious in spiritual life, which means you have to perform tapasya. It means that you have to tapasya means voluntarily giving up things which you may not easily be able to give up, which means the griha. Right? Advanaprast means that you give up living in one place. You give up attachment to a home. Children are, traditionally speaking, children are grown up, they're married by 50, should be. That's the traditional system. And now it's out of your system, it's done. Now you go to the forest. Husband and wife stay together, but they begin to travel. Don't have one regular place to live. Traditionally speaking, they say you go to the forest. Literally means you go to the forest. And you begin to practice spiritual life very focusedly. Material life is finished. Right? No more, you know, getting into children and, you know, accumulation and all those things. That part of life is gone now. So 50 years old, then you focus. So then you go for 25 years. And then the final ashrama, if you take it, not everyone takes it. Traditionally speaking, there is the four varnas, which means the sudras, the vaishyas, the kshatriyas, the brahmanas. The shudras are only grihasthas. That's their only ashrama. They don't have brahmachari training in traditional Vedic culture. Sudras don't go to gurukul. They don't have brahmachari training, just grihasthas. That's it, whole life. Just stay at home, do your thing, like that. But supposed to be becoming purified, supposed to be practicing some spiritual life. And then the vaishyas, they have brahmachari and grihastha training. So when they're young, they get trained as brahmacharis, they go to gurukul, and then the rest of the life, grihastha. That's the vaishyas. But once again, spiritual life should be the center. And then kshatriyas, they have brahmachari, grihastha, and vanaprastha, like that. You'll see in the Bhagavatam, you'll see Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, they went to the forest when Vidura preached to them. So that is vanaprastha. That's what the kshatriyas do. And the brahmanas, they have four ashramas, three or four. You know, brahmachari, straight to vanaprastha, straight to sannyas, or brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, like that. They have four ashramas. So sannyas is not for every person. Sannyas is rare, actually, like that. So, but sannyas is there. Sannyas means complete renunciation. And the religious principle, or the dharma, for sannyasis is satya. Satyam. Satyam means they absorb themselves in the absolute truth. Sannyasis absorb themselves in the absolute truth, and they preach the absolute truth. That is their dharma, or their principle, like that. So then, what about the Matajis in Vedic culture? Because they don't go to gurukul. So then, the Matajis, this is traditionally speaking, now we have Brahmacharini ashrams, but traditionally speaking, the Matajis would stay at home, and they would get trained by the women of the family. And the two, Prabhupada says, the two most important principles for women is to learn how to be a good cook and to be chaste, chastity. These are the two most important principles for women, traditionally speaking. Chastity means they are very fixed on their person that they marry. They are chaste. They don't look at other men. They don't associate with other men. Right? They become attached to their husband. And they're good cooks. Because if the wife is a bad cook, then life becomes special. Like that. If the wife cannot cook, then life is what it is. It's austere. But if the wife is a good cook, then she will keep the husband. Like that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Vedic culture is basically based on taking prasadam. If you look at it. If you go back to like the villages in India, basically that's all people do. You have breakfast, nice breakfast, you know, idli, dosa, sambar, right, chutney, like that. Nice breakfast. And then you go out in the field, you know, do a bit of this, bit of that, come back, have lunch, right? Nice lunch, right? Nice thali. And then you go out, do a bit of this, bit of that, and then come back. That's what I see in India, that's basically what goes on, you know. And you come back and you have prasad, and in the evening everyone gets together and they hear about the Mahabharata or the Ramayana. Get up early in the morning, go to Mongolani, do your sadhana, take prasad, that's life. So if prasadam is good, then the family life is good. Everyone's happy. If prasadam is not good, everyone's like, well, what's the point of living? that's factually, that's why it's like that. Even Srila Prabhupada, in 1977, Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he was, in the last 6 months, he was hardly eating anything. He was just, his body was beginning to become emaciated. And Bhakti Chiruswami cooked, I think, a little khichdi for Prabhupada, because he could hardly eat anything. He wasn't even taking grains or, and he cooked a little khichdi for him, but it was didn't have any spices, because the doctor said, the carrier says, oh, he has to eat simple diet. So they cooked just very simple, and then they offered it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada tasted it, and there was no spices or anything in there, and Prabhupada said, there's no taste. And Bhakti Tarusvami said, well, because you have to be on a special diet. And then Prabhupada said, so what is the point of eating? You know, this is Prabhupada 1977 on his bed. Prabhupada, what's the point of eating? There's no spices in the khichdi. What's the point? Like that. So this is the point of Vedic culture. It should be like that. So as it says here, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we become purified when we use everything in material existence in Krishna's service. That is Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means everything in this world must be connected to Krishna. And if it cannot be connected to Krishna, then we reject it. And that's how we become purified. That's how the conditioned soul becomes purified. If you do not connect everything to Krishna, you do not become purified. So this is the basic overview of how we should live in the material world, according to the Vedic system. And if we follow that system, Prabhupada has pointed out the Vedic system is the best system. That's why Prabhupada was reintroducing brahmachari life, grihastha life, vanaprastha life, sannyasa life, like that. Up until now, we haven't really developed Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana so much. But Prabhupada did mention it, because it's the best way to organize society. So if we follow that, right, and if it becomes Daivi, Varnashram Dharma, right, if we follow our ashram and our Varna according to Daivi, it means divine purpose, it means everything is done for the pleasure of Krishna, the Supreme, then we purify our material existence. Right? Everything which binds us to this material world, it can liberate us from this material world when we use it in Krishna's service. So that is the point, that is the teachings of Rupa Goswami. So we'll stop there and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
One comment about that, when you were telling about butter and fire, Shudhaida Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chastised so badly that he had to commit suicide.
Chanta Haridas.
Very strict about Brahmachari life. This is very
true.
We are following the teaching of the things.
As much as we can. As much as we can. Any other point? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.